All right. Well, we've had a good week, haven't we? I'll tell you, it's been a long week. I know you're tired. I know the counselors are out of gas, or the cooks are out of gas. I'm out of gas. Everybody's out of gas. So we'll put it together tonight, and then we'll get out of here, and we'll go to work for the Lord. So I'm looking forward to, you know, what God has done this week. And, you know, this has been an exceptional camp. I got to say, I think that probably in all my years of camping and preaching camps, which has been quite a few, this is the one that I think is the most ability to be productive. We'll see, but we've got something special here this week. And, you know, the theme has been to overcome and to be a victory or victorious instead of a victim. And I think we've accomplished that this week as far as giving you what you need. Whether you do that or not is another whole thing. But so far, you remember, we have laid out the great story in Acts chapter 27. And we have each night built upon that story and that foundation, how that Paul was in a terrible storm. We talked about the ship that from Alexandria to Rome, how he was out of fellowship, and we talked about how that the perfect storm came into his world, and the perfect storm will also come into your world when you disobey God. And they were afraid that they were going to be crushed upon the rocks. They were in a storm called Arachlodon, which held the ship and wouldn't let it move. And then the waves and the wind and everything just broke it up and beat it to pieces. And obviously their lives were in great peril. And we have talked about how that after they tried everything they knew how to do, they threw out four anchors. And those four anchors held that ship from being pushed in and crashed on the rocks. And we have been talking about the four anchors that you have to have in your life, that when this perfect storm comes, it's going to keep you from being dashed to pieces by the world system. The first night, we talked about salvation, didn't we? And we talked about how that salvation was absolutely the number one place we have to start. The salvation is the anchor of your soul. It ends all questions about where you're going to spend eternity and lays that foundation in your life that the rest of your life is going to build on. I want to ask you tonight, because I've been, you know, haven't got a... If you were here this week and you trusted Christ as your own personal Savior and you got saved, would you stand up for me, please, if you got saved this week? I just want to see everybody that got saved. That's great. That's great. Don't forget now, Sunday we're going to baptize those that want to be baptized and see Miss Barb over here, and we'll get you all set up. And I think that, you know, that's a very important thing, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. The second night, we talked about the second anchor, didn't we? And that is the anchor of the Word of God. And where salvation is the anchor of your soul, the Word of God will be the anchor of your life. It'll be what you always go back to when you face the storms of life. Psalms 119, verse 11, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It should be one of yours too. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. An absolute great principle of how important the Word of God is in your life. We've talked about the Word of God, how that it is the mind of Christ. And we are to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. The last night, we talked about the third anchor. And where the first anchor anchored your soul, the second anchor anchored your life, the third one anchored your spirit. And that is the people that you associate with. We talked about iron sharpeneth an iron. And we really focused on, you know, you at this age of your life, really trying to make everything positive in your life with other people. And we talked about the accountability teams. We're going to focus on that in just a little bit tonight. And I want to explain to you how that that they're going to work for you and give you some ideas along with that. You know, we talked about becoming God's clique. that involves everybody. That you reach out and you put your arms around all the new people that you don't know that come into your youth group or into the church. That you reach out to them, that you try to be there for them, get to know them. Help them find out what the church is all about, what your youth group is all about. And tonight, I want to close out our week by laying out the fourth anchor. And yet I want to try to pull it all together tonight for you, that when you leave here, you have a really good understanding. And the fourth anchor will be the structure of a New Testament Bible-believing church. And where salvation anchored your soul, where the Word of God anchored your life, and where the association with people, iron sharpening iron, anchors your spirit, the New Testament local church will anchor your ministry and what you're going to do for God. It's just that simple. You know, when the Lord went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1 and 2, most people don't realize this, but he replaced himself with three things. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. When he died and went back to heaven, he replaced himself on earth with simply three things. The first thing he replaced himself with was the Holy Spirit of God. That was promised all the way back in John chapter 16. The Comforter, when it would come. And that Holy Spirit of God came in Acts chapter 1 and was established in Acts chapter 2. The second thing that he replaced himself with was the Word of God. By 90 AD, when John writes the book of Revelation, the whole Bible now is complete. And man has the complete revelation of God. The third thing he replaced himself with was what we're going to talk about tonight, the fourth anchor, and that was the New Testament local church. You know, God has a calling for each of you. God has something he wants you to do. And to this week, that's what we're trying to lay out to you. And I'm trying to show you not over how to be an overcomer, not only how to be a victorious in your life and all that you do, but to find that way that God is going to fulfill himself in you. So he gave us the Holy Spirit of God, and that will be the guide that will guide you through your life and through your ministry. He gave you the Word of God. The Word of God, we talked about it the other night. It'll be your compass. It'll be your roadmap to show you, as the Holy Spirit of God guides you, where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do. And then he gave you the New Testament local church, Old Paths Baptist Church, the church in St. Louis. And, you know, he gave you those that church. And that where the Holy Spirit of God will be your guide, where the Word of God will be your roadmap or your compass, the church will be the vehicle by which you get to where God wants you to go. It'll be what God will use in your life to get you not only where he wants you to go, but to be what he wants you to be. You see this laid out in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, as we start to move through the development of the church, we find the model church. In Old Paths Baptist Church, I model my church after this church. And, you know, it's found in Acts chapter 11 of the church at Antioch. There's another great model in Acts chapter 20, the church at Ephesus. Those two churches are the beginning of God establishing, and they're great models for us. But one thing that you find very key, and that everybody in the book of Acts, when they got saved, just like you did, everybody got saved, just like every one of you have. Some this week, some of you already were saved. Everybody who got saved did two things. The first thing that they did was get baptized. Now, baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. We talked about that the first night. So you're not baptized to be saved. You're baptized because you are saved. Baptism is an outward expression of what has taken place inside your heart. It's a public exclamation that I am saved. You're identifying with Christ. We talked about this Monday night on the first anchor. Baptism will not save you. But if you got saved this week and you understand salvation, then you need to do what they did in the book of Acts, and that is get baptized. Because baptism is that, again, the outward identification of what took place inside you. publicly, showing people that you have been saved. The second thing that they did, every one of them got into a New Testament Bible-believing church. The church at Antioch, Paul is starting churches all over Asia Minor. They got involved in those. And, of course, the other great example is the church at Ephesus. And those are the two things that everybody did. And I'm telling you, you laid the first anchor when you got saved. The second anchor is the Word of God. The third anchor last night was the people that you hang out with. And the fourth anchor is going to be the vehicle now. Are you going to get in the vehicle? Are you going to get in the church? Are you going to do what you need to do? And I said again Monday night, the church cannot save you, but the church will get you after you're saved where God wants you to go. And that's the key. And I'll tell you, I know the Word of God will be our accountability. We know that. We got our groups together. We're going to talk about those here in just a little bit. Our accountability groups. Most of you are formed into one. That's good. But what does the church do? The church will enforce the accountability. It'll enforce the principles. It'll keep everybody between the white lines, so to speak, that everybody does in their accountability groups exactly what God wants them to do. It helps you stay right on course through the preaching and the teaching and what Zach and Jenny and all the counselors, what all that they do and all that they give you. And, you know, honestly, the church will become your structure of accountability. Structure of accountability for ministry. Everything you're doing in your groups, you're going to see here in a little bit. Everything I want you to do in these groups will not only ensure that you stay where you need to be, but it will also guarantee that you accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. But you got to help each other. It was Moses, Aaron, and Ur. And it'll be you three in that group that you begin to help each other, work with each other, encourage each other, strengthen each other, sharpen each other. That's the key. And if you'll do that, then this will be a different camp than it's ever been, not only at Old Paths, but probably in every camp I've ever done in my time in preaching camps. You know, the church is so important as the enforcement of our accountability. You know, fundamentally, that's why when people get out of fellowship with God, they quit going to church. They'll start to get an attitude about things. They'll get out of fellowship with God. The first thing that happens, they quit going to church. Because the church, through the preaching and the teaching, will hold them accountable. And they don't want to be held accountable. So it's easy to remove themselves from the institution that God has set up of accountability for all of us. That's why people won't go to a church at all. And yet they'll still talk about how much they love God and how much they love Jesus and they're saved. But they'll never go and get involved into a church. And the reason is they don't want the accountability that comes along with being in a church that holds you accountable. And you're going to find that that's always true. We have them in Kansas City. I'm sure you got them in Lincoln, and I know you probably got them in St. Louis. What we call them mega churches. Churches that got 4,000 or 5,000 people in it. And you'll find that people will go to those churches because they can get lost in the crowd, so to speak. There's no real accountability. And you got 2,000 people. How do you keep people accountable? You don't. And people will go to a church that they can go whenever they want to go, and nobody's going to say, hey, I missed you last week. They're just a face in the crowd. All of these things is what human nature in us people do because at the end of the day, we don't want accountability. This is why getting into these groups is not only important, but keeping these groups alive is really important because I'm telling you, fundamentally, I know you're happy tonight. You're singing great. You're praising the Lord. You're screaming your lungs out. Everybody's fired up. I'm telling you. The number one problem we all have as human beings, we don't like accountability. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. That's why you got to put yourself with somebody else. When you're having a bad day, they're having a good day. When these two are having a good day, you're having a bad day. Those two are having a bad day, you're having a good day. The thing we got to pray for is all three of you don't have a bad day on the same day. But this is what it's about. This will make the difference. This will change everything about what you did this week. This is not camp right this week is short term. What I'm talking about is long term. I'm talking about you taking this thing the distance. But it's going to require some work on your part. It's going to require that you, when you don't want to, the other people are going to encourage you. When you fall down, they're going to help pick you up. When you stumble, they're going to grab you. It's about iron sharpening iron. It's about you guys helping each other, being there for each other, and put an end to being against each other. It went on in this camp. There were people in this camp that in the cabins tried to tear things up, try to make a mess out of things, try to ruin things for everybody else. And I guarantee you, they're probably not going to be in accountability group. They don't want to be accountable to anybody. And it's a thing where that will be your biggest challenge, wanting to stay accountable. And it's the key. It's what'll make the difference. It's what'll make the difference. And you know, I'll tell you right now. The number one thing we all need is accountability. There is nobody who is above accountability. And I'll tell you right now, not only do we need accountability, but we need responsibility. Without accountability, you'll never be responsible for anything. It'll always be somebody else's fault. It'll always be, I'm a victim. The victorious person is never a victim because the victorious person takes responsibility for whatever in their life is there and they become accountable to somebody for it. That's the difference. That's the difference. And we live in a world that wants to take that from you. We live in a world that almost everything that you're associated with, from school to everything that you do, it's about them wanting to take accountability from you and responsibility. It's always going to be somebody else's fault, and you are always going to be the victim. You got to get past that. That may work in the world. It'll never work in Christianity in your relationship with God. Accountability and responsibility. It's just that simple. You know, I build leaders. That's what I do. That's my calling. I take young men and young ladies, your moms and dads who once were young men and young ladies. My whole life has been about combing through people and looking for men and women who have a speck of leadership ability and then developing that. I look for people who I don't have to tell you what to do. It's like at camp. We got guys that do all of this stuff, and we don't have to tell them what to do. They see something that needs to be done, they go do it. You don't have to tell them what to do. You don't have to, they're not off someplace just doing whatever they want to do. If they see something that needs to be done when we get to camp, they're on it. They're right in the middle. And when they can't get done with this, they look for something else to do. And that's the key. In all of my life, God has been so good to me to take men and women, young men and women. I look at you guys. And the thing that excites me about our own kids, especially our singles that are here working with you, is we have some great, great leaders. And leadership is something that God has given me the ability to know how to bring out of somebody. And I look for just two basic things. You see, most people think and would tell you that leadership is about ability. And if you have great ability, that'll make you a great leader. That is not true. Leadership is not about ability. Leadership is about accountability. Leadership is about you taking responsibility. Now, I'll use a good example. My counselors here, the cooks, all of the guys who did all of the label stuff and all the stuff that made this thing. They weren't just sitting around doing nothing. They were involved all week long. And you know what? They got tired. I guarantee you, you're tired because you played all the time and had a great time, and that's good. My counselors are tired because not only did they have to keep up with you, but they had to be the spiritual side of things, and that takes a lot out of you. And they're tired. And they were. I saw it in their faces. I saw it in the people who are running this camp because they're making it for you. But what makes them great leaders and what makes them leaders and makes this week a great week at camp is that they're tired and they don't get much sleep at night and they're wore out. But the thing that makes this week great is the fact that in spite of that, they know that they have a responsibility to you and to this camp and accountability to you to be there for you spiritually with what you need. That's leadership. That's leadership. That is the difference between somebody who pretends they're a leader and somebody that is a leader. And that's what I look for. I look for people that I don't have to come up and say, will you do this? You see what needs to be done. You understand the greatest asset we have in our church is people. And I see that here. So leadership is not about your ability. Leadership is about your accountability and your responsibility. That you will take responsibility for something in this church and you will be accountable to it. People. And that's what I'm looking for. All my life I've looked for it. I've had in my life two kinds of people. The wannabes and the ones that are the real deal. And I see in this room tonight a lot of real deals. And I see men and women here, young men and women here, that if you do what needs to be done this week, and you allow God to do in your world what needs to be done, and you allow God to develop you, it'll be something special. Now, obviously this week, as you go home, there's some things that need to be changed. Some things that need to be fixed. We started working on those this week. And we talked about the first night, your salvation. Were you sure? Then we talked about the Word of God, how that we, that we read the book, preach the book, know the book. Last night, we talked about the people that you hang out with. And we talked about making yourself accountable to people. Making yourself accountable. And you need, the first thing when you go back, you need to understand that you need to plant yourself into your youth group. You need to get a hold of your youth leader, Zach or Greg or whoever it may, and you need to realize that the fourth anchor is the structure of that New Testament local church that's going to overall enforce the accountability that you want to put into your life. You have here this week everything that you need. On one side, it's the most exciting thing on the planet. On the other side, it's one of the most discouraging things. You know why? Because I'm no fool, and I've been in this business a while. Not everybody's going to do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of your friends are not going to do it. Some of your friends are going to start out doing it, and they're going to quit. Some of your friends, it's going to get old after a week or so. They're going to bail out. And I'm telling you right now, you have to stay focused because all your Christian life, people are going to bail out on you. They're going to get tired. They're going to get fat. They're going to get sassy. They're going to get to the place where they don't want to really do anything anymore. And you've got to keep on doing it. And I'm telling you right now, God will bring in all of the fresh blood. He'll give you new people that you can be in. But sometimes you just got to let them go, kids. Life is about choices. And you have chosen this week to be what God wants you to be. You can never let somebody's other's choice not to do what God wants them to do interfere with your choice to be what God wants you to do. You got to stay true to that calling. You really do. You really do. There's absolutely no excuse for you not to overcome this week and be a victor instead of being a victim. And the key will be to use everything that I have given you, everything that Danny gave you, everything your counselors have done for you, the real leadership of this camp. Using everything that we gave you this week and putting it to work for you. We've explained the salvation. We've explained the Bible. Now you're in your little accountability groups. And now the New Testament local church, Bible-believing church, becomes the vehicle for you to put all this thing into action. I want to explain to you how all this is going to work. I've had 1,000 questions, and I pretty much just blew everybody off and said, just wait till tonight, and I will answer most of your questions. And then if I don't, then we'll talk about it. But I want to walk you through the scenario of getting yourself into accountability group within the structure of the New Testament church. You're saved. We already know you got to get into the Bible. Now we've got to start building accountability relationships with each other within the structure of the enforcement of that accountability, the New Testament local church, the vehicle by which God wants you to get where he wants you to go. We talked about small groups. And I used the model of Aaron, Hur, and Moses. That's a natural pattern. I know that there's variations to this, and there's an exception to every rule. You're going to find in some cases four, maybe five. I don't know. I don't want you to go out of here and think that it's got to be just three. That's a good number. But if it runs over, but you don't want 10 or 15, then you destroy the whole concept. Because the key is the smaller the group, the more intimate you can become and the more you can get done. And we'll talk about how this thing is going to progress. You know, all this depends on what your youth pastor wants to do. I'm just laying out some guidelines. But each group should designate a leader of that group. Say you have three people. Each group ought to designate a leader for that group, which leads for 1 month. And then the leadership of that group for the next month goes to the second person. Then the leadership of that second person goes to the third person, then you start all over again. Because the goal here is to train everybody as being a leader. The goal here is not just putting you in a group, having one guy or one gal in charge. No, the goal here is like in our prayer groups, where everybody gets a chance to be a leader in it. And that develops leadership. And in these small groups, you need to start out with one leader for a month, and then you switch to the next person. He becomes the leader, she becomes the leader, then you go to the third person, and then you move right around again. And you keep doing that, and it builds the leadership of giving you the ability to be accountable and responsible for what you've got to do in leading that group. And I want to talk to you about that next. For instance, say you're the leader of a group. I think that what you need to do is you send a key verse to the other two people every morning. That you get up before you go to school, before you do anything, you send a key verse out. You don't have to send them. Don't send them to the other groups. Just send it to your three. That's who you're responsible for. Find a verse that is going to encourage them. Give them something. You see, that makes you get into the Bible. And if you keep changing leadership every month, then everybody's going to get a shot at that. It's going to force you to get into your Bible, find a verse. Because if you don't do it, then you're going to come out of verse. And if you forget to do it or blow it off, then the other two people are going to what? Hold you accountable. See? Accountability is a great thing, because accountability, along with it, comes responsibility. And your responsibility will be caught up in your accountability. So that's a good thing I suggest that you do. You know, you talk throughout the week on the phone. You have your social media, which can be a very bad thing. This case, use it for something good. Don't share your social stuff with the other groups. Then you defeat your purpose. Every group has to be unto itself. And you work with your three people. Don't worry about all the other people out there. You worry about what your responsibility and who you're accountable to. Those three or four people in your group. And you minister to them. You talk back and forth. You talk about prayer requests. You get in there and you, if you're struggling with something, if you have a bad day, if something doesn't go well, if somebody bullies you or you have anxiety or something happens, this is where you bring it. It's like Moses sitting down there when his hands were up, everything went great, but when he got tired and weary, the battle started going the wrong way. What happened? Aaron and Ur lifted up his hands. You need to lift each other's hands up. Because it's going to be tough sometimes. It won't be all good and rosy, praise the Lord, hold the fort for I. It won't all be that. There'll be days when you struggle. There'll be days when you fall and you fail. And you have to help pick each other up. I would say at least once a month, and you can do this. I mean, you'll see each other at church. You know, you can hit your little get off into a side, take 5-10 minutes, you know, talk a little bit, have a word of prayer, whatever you want to do. I think at least once a month, and you can do this however you know, you guys want to do it. I'm just giving you suggestions. At least once a month, I think you ought to get together and talk. Have somebody designated to have a little Bible lesson. I mean, these are things that a leader does. A leader, and I know you're learning, but that's why I'm here to help you. Your Zach's here to help you. That's why we're here to, your counselors are here to help you. These older girls will help you. The older guys will help you. We're not just throwing you to the wolves. There is plenty of people here that will help guide you to get your feet on the ground. But you got to do the work. It's got to be you. You don't, and I say this, you don't need to program this down to it's just another thing that we do. You don't have to legislate everything that you do. You don't have to get a checkoff list. Let it take itself naturally. Don't focus so much on all the things you want to do and lose sight of the very people that you're trying to encourage. And a lot of times it's just being a friend to somebody, giving them a verse. You know, most preachers keep on preaching long after there's nothing to say. And that's the way God's people are. They major on the minors and miss the issues that really at hand. And you guys need to help each other with that. You need to be sensitive. And the older ones here will help you with that. They'll help you. But you don't want to put it into a mechanical program. It has to be spirit-led, spirit-fed, and spirit-endowed that God just brings it along and helps you. We'll help you. You have questions, let us help you. But you have to begin to take the leadership of accountability and responsibility. You know, in our church, each team will overall be accountable to Zach in our church. And or your prospective pastor back in St. Louis and however you guys decide you're going to do that. But you'll work as a team. And you'll help the pastor, Zach in our case, you know, reach out to all the new kids. I want to use our Lincoln crowd as an example, because they're a smaller group and I can get more of a small context mindset here. But this is again, I've already talked to Carolyn and Amy, and they're going to be the overall facilitators of this. I'm going to work with them as the third partner. as the male factor up there to help them get it all together and work it and be accountable to me, and I'll help them do that. But within their group, they will form accountability team. Now, let's just say that they have four groups of three. I don't know how many they'll wind up, but it doesn't matter. I'm just using it. Let's say they have four groups of three people. That's what they start with. And inwardly, they'll begin to do what I said, work together internally, helping each other stay on the cutting edge by keeping each other accountable and responsible. Outwardly, when you guys have your monthly thing up there with all the other kids or kids start coming in, then Amy and Carolyn will put you and give you designated things to do for the new kids coming in, and you'll work with them and you encourage them, help them be everything that, get everything that you guys are trying to do for them up there. And as they start coming along, then you'll add them to your teams. And once your team gets six or seven, then you'll split your teams and somebody else will take it. You always want to keep your teams as small as you can for the personal contact, but you're always going to be dividing them. And pretty soon you start with four teams. A year from now you got 10 teams. 2 years from now you got 15 teams. And it's all based on accountability and responsibility and teaching and training the leadership skills. And that's the way it has to work. Inwardly, you will help each other and stay on the cutting edge. Outwardly, you'll work in the ministry up there. Whatever happens, when new kids come in, you'll go and get them. You'll become friends with them. You'll encourage them. You'll be there for, and you bring them in. You'll use your teams not only to develop yourself, but also to develop your ministry. Under the leadership, which whatever that may be. For us, it's Zach and Jenny. And, you bring them into the group. It's that outward click that I talked about. It's about realizing that you're God's click. You're going to work together, but you're going to build each other and make each other better, not hurt each other. And then because you make each other better, now you have the ability to make others better. It'll work. You keep adding, obviously, accountability teams. You divide, you develop new leadership, and it just keeps moving along. You grow it slowly, you grow it naturally, and you just let God bring it along. The older I get in the ministry, the less in a hurry I get about things. And I'll see somebody that I know they've got issues, and I know they've got problems, and I know they've got this, and I know they've got that. And I could jump right in with both feet. But I've learned over time that it's better if God shows you what your problem is than me trying to point it out to you. Now, there are exceptions to that, obviously. But when you get into these accountability groups, you want to take your time. That's why you don't want to start orchestrating and programming a lot of things. You just want to be there for each other, enjoy each other, fellowship with each other, encourage each other, listen to each other, give each other verses and share what God is doing. And when somebody struggles, like Moses and and Aaron, pick them up and then let God just develop it. You get more people come into your group, new youth people. It's just like in our own youth group, the last couple of months, we've got new people coming in. Thankfully, most of them are at camp. And now we got people here that we can go out, but there's going to be more people come in. There's more people back there that didn't get to come to camp. You can start right there. It all comes down to what and how you see them. You either see them as competition or you'll see them as the ministry that God has given you, and you'll use your accountability and your responsibility to reach out to make them better. It's just that simple. It's not a complicated deal. You'll always have a chain of command. A chain of command is absolutely vital. Without a chain of command, everything breaks down. Listen to me. You have to have a chain of command. In the military, you lead from the top down. In Christianity, you lead from the top down. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And we already know what a leader is. I've talked to you about it. So you're going to have the group leader, which is going to change every month. You're going to have you who are accountable to that group. The group is going to be accountable to each other. And the group leader in the group is going to be accountable to the overall leader, Zach. And overall, you're all going to be accountable to the New Testament local church that God has put you in. So what you have here, it makes this thing incredible, is what you have is a three- or four-fold accountability system that is infallible if you follow it. That will ultimately be accountable to the structure of the New Testament church. And everybody grows. Everybody has got their place doing what God wants them to do. And your youth group, our church, and everything we do is about making people better. It's just that simple. Now, I say this. You're going to lose people for sure. Not everybody in our church, your youth group, is going to want to be part of this. Probably not everybody in this room right here wants to be part of this. I get that. And yet you're going to have people who feel the peer pressure to have got into a group this week. That 2 weeks from now or a month from now, they're probably going to pull the switch and be gone. That happens. You try to help them when you can. You try to help them. I cannot tell you. I figured up one time. Since we started our church 16 years ago, and I couldn't remember everything and everybody, but with what I did remember, I put together that if everybody who ever came to our church in the last 16 years would have stayed in our church, I think it was we had 1,443,000 people. But we run around 250, 300 whenever we get everybody together. Because people are not going to stay. It's a fact of life. Here's how you got to deal with that. You can get wah-wah about the fact that who leaves, or you can begin to instill in your young life right now what are the greatest single principles that I had to learn, that you better learn, is simply this. Never focus on what you don't have. Amen. Never focus on who leaves. Never focus on who quits. Always focus on what God has put right in front of you to give you right now. If you lose two and you got one, thank God for the one you got. God will give you more. You don't ever focus on what you don't have. That'll defeat you every time. I don't know how many times in God's people's lives the thing that cancels them out is they start thinking about what they don't have, focusing on what they don't have, and right in front of them is everything that they could ever want, but they miss what they have here because they're focused on the wrong things or what they don't have. You got to learn that. You got to learn that. If I would have had everybody that ever stayed, you know, that ever came through the door, I can't tell you how many people we have. But you know what? I don't think about it. I understand the nature of the beast called Christianity. I understand God's people. I understand that most of them aren't going to do what they need to do. I also know that when you build a church, today you probably got to go through 15 people to keep one. Now you can focus on the 15 that didn't like it, or you can focus on the one that did like it and work with that one. And that is a great lesson that I learned early in the ministry that I have never forgotten, and you better learn it this week. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to take the bad with the good. A leader is not somebody who just, as I said, has ability because he makes decisions. A real leader makes the hard decisions. A real leader makes the decisions that nobody else wants to make. And you're going to have to make some of those. You're going to have to. Holding somebody accountable sounds good right now till you get in your group 6 months from now and somebody's not doing right, and then we'll see if you're going to really hold them accountable or not. Or you yourself. If somebody holds you accountable. That's the key. That's the key. There are people who hate my guts, and I don't know for why, because I'm the nicest guy on the planet. But I'll tell you why they do, because I'll hold people accountable. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. I have a way I do things, and it's based as close as I can get it on the Bible. People that work for me have to follow those lines. And if they don't, then we're going to have an issue. The number one thing in my world is people. If I have people in my ministry that the number one thing in their life obviously isn't people, we're going to have some issues. You have to be a leader, man enough or woman enough, to focus on what is the real issues you got to stay with. It's the people that God gives you. And that's the way it's got to work. It's the way it's got to work. And you'll lose some, but you will build and you will add. And in time, it will all work out. But the key will be leadership and helping others. And I cannot stress that enough. I'm not really preaching to you tonight. I preached to you for three nights. Tonight I'm trying to show you and give you some good, clear, honest direction because I believe in this room tonight some very good leaders. You just need to be developed. You need to let this church help you. You need to let me help you, Zach help you, Jenny help you, Danny, Jamie, all the counselors help you. You need to allow the people who know what they're doing, these younger, older girls and guys that are your counselors, they will help you. They don't necessarily need to be in your group. If they are, that's fine. But they will help you no matter what. There's enough resources in our church to give you everything that you need if you want it. And that's why there is absolutely no reason tonight for you not to leave here being an overcomer and being a victor instead of a victim. And the only reason you'll stay not overcoming and stay being a victim is because you've chosen to do that. And that's on you. That's on you. Right outside those gates, kids, is the battlefield. You've been safe in here for 4 days. But Christianity is a warfare. It's a battle. And there's going to be casualties. And I know in any battle, we talked about D-Day, 6th of June, and the Normandy invasion, and talk about all those things. And yet they put together probably the most magnificent battle plan that was ever in history of man in warfare. The Allied troops from America, I mean thousands and tens of thousands of young men were going to storm ashore on that Normandy beach. And the Germans knew as well as anybody that they were on borrowed time. America had come up from Italy through Africa, or from Africa through Italy, and they were knocking on the back door. They had the Russians on the other side, and now we're coming across and putting the first foothold in France. They knew that they could not withhold it for any length of time. They knew the handwriting was on the wall, at least as the German generals did. The plan was incredible. They had everything going. And the plan went off without much of a hitch. They really did. In 3 or 4 days, man, they were 40 miles inland. It was a great plan, just like the plan that we put. But I want to tell you, when all those soldiers got in those landing craft, and those landing craft started headed for shore, and they bumped up onto the first American soldiers on the Normandy or French shore, and those ramps went down, and those soldiers ran out. On the first wave, 10,000 of them were killed within the first 15 minutes. And they had a great plan. They had the best food, the best equipment, they had air supremacy, they had everything. They plastered that beach for 30 days before they went ashore. And on the first 20 minutes, 10,000 young men lay dead on that beach. You know what that tells me? That tells me when you go out that gate tonight and that ramp goes down tomorrow, some of you are going to become casualties. But you know what? They didn't all step around and say, oh, Joe's dead and he's dead. Oh, let's all go back to the ship and eat. I just can't do this. They stormed that beach. They took every gun emplacement. They took every bunker. They took everything obstacle was in their way, and they got the victory. You know why? Because they were victorious, and they overcame. You're going to have some casualties. Some of your friends are simply not going to make it. You can whine about it, cry about it, let them pull you off task, or you can stay focused and get the job done. But it's going to take responsibility and accountability. That's what it's going to take. Now, here's what I want to do. Sunday, I hope that you folks who got saved will see with Barb over here and that we'll baptize you because you need to be baptized. Not to be saved, but because you are. And I hope that you'll do that. Right now, in closing, I'm not going to give any more invitations. You had every chance to get right and get saved. If you want to do that, you see your counselor afterwards. But right now, I want to recognize our teams. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to call you down one team at a time. And for the first month, I'm going to designate the leader of that team. That'll get you going. You get with Zach, you get with your youth pastors, you get with, and then you work it out from there. But I'm going to designate the first leader. So I don't know, here's what I want. Just give me a team of three right now, whoever that may be. Come on down here.